The path to presidential victory runs directly through Pennsylvania, and polls show it will be a close race in 2020. So over the next year, we'll hear from four voters at the center of this election about the issues that will sway their choice at the ballot box. This month, our voters talked to 90.5 WESA's Lucy Perkins for our latest installment of Split Ticket about where they get the information that will shape their vote.
The media voters consume has the power to inform how they view everything that happens until the election.
I was reading about this and just absolutely in shock.
Mary Henze is 53 and lives in Jefferson Hills. She was a Democrat for decades before supporting Trump in 2016. When I talked with her in December, she mentioned a story about House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's son that I hadn't heard before. So she found a video clip that her friend shared on Facebook.
The less told story surrounding Paul Pelosi Jr. It's still unraveling on the sidelines following revelations.
I asked Mary who reported the story.
One American Network. And these are the things that nobody wants us to know.
I had never heard of One American Network and asked her to look it up on her phone.
One American Network, also referred to as One American News, is an Twitter account, had a history. Thank you.
Can you keep reading what it says?
Absolutely. Twitter account had a history of tweeting falsehoods and conspiracy theories.
The Pelosi story, for example, was nothing more than a debunked conspiracy theory involving Ukraine. There are news sources like OAN to reflect every political opinion, and voter misinformation is a broad problem. Mary, for example, mostly watches Fox, and while she likes that they occasionally bring on Democrats, research suggests the more you watch Fox, the likelier you are to be exposed to misinformation. Like Mary, Republican Ed Swiklinski trusts his ability to see through media bias. He's 46, works in cybersecurity, and lives in Bethel Park. He voted for Trump, but has voted for some local Democrats. Ed watches Fox, too, and also listens to Rush Limbaugh.
I listen to Rush Limbaugh because he agrees with me. He has the same point of view I have, that we both love this country, that is the best thing that ever is. I do see the other side. I just don't listen to it as much.
Which he says isn't a problem. Everyone's news feeds will look different because everyone is different.
I think they're going to find the news that's going to reflect what they believe.
To some extent, Savannah Henry agrees.
You believe what you believe. So like even if you're following people on Twitter who are like people you agree with, yours might not necessarily point out their fake news within your own circle.
She's 19 and a sophomore at the University of Pittsburgh, where she has a subscription to the New York Times. She also gets her news from Twitter, where she follows political activists, celebrities, and others who are in line with her progressive views. Democrat Linda Bishop is 68 and a big fan of MSNBC's Rachel Maddow. But after retiring from international banking, the Mars resident spends hours a day following sources like NPR, The Washington Post, and the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. And she's worried about how the siloed media landscape has created different versions of reality.
You know, I'm old enough to have lived through, you know, like three impeachments now. And, you know, when I look back on the Nixon and the news coverage and so on, there wasn't a Fox News, you know, and there wasn't an MSNBC, and there was just the news.
Linda doesn't have a solution, but she does think everyone needs to be skeptical of disinformation.
We have to question the things that we read, that we hear, that we see. We have to do that in order to be good citizens.
Republican Mary Henze, who's on disability and also has plenty of time to keep up with current events, has been trying to do her part ever since finding out about One America News.
I went back to my Facebook and deleted all of those sources because I did not want to be misled.
Democrat Savannah Henry agrees that disinformation is a problem, but she says it's unfair to expect busy students like her or people working multiple jobs to thoroughly vet every story they read.
To like kind of put the responsibility on me to like seek out every source I read and make sure that my information is from a 100% certified source, and I don't know, it's just I feel like it's a lot on the person.
Especially when there are so many sources out there. I'm Lucy Perkins, 90.5 WESA News.
As the 2020 election inches closer, our Split Ticket series looks at how key issues resonate in Western Pennsylvania. Polling shows that health care is a top concern, and 90.5 WESA's Lucy Perkins talked with two voters who want to expand government health care and two who don't, but still turn to public services for help.
Medicare saved Mary Henze's life.
Without Medicare, I'd be dead because they'd have turned me away at the hospital doors.
Mary lives in Jefferson Hills and is in her 50s. She's been on disability for a decade and is HIV positive, two things that allowed her to get on Medicare before she turned 65. She depended on the program when she had a brain tumor and relies on it now while she fights breast cancer. She's been mostly satisfied with her care, but she's unhappy that receiving it means she's dependent on the government.
Heck, I'm in a catch-22 because I don't believe in it and I'm stuck on it. And I hate it.
Mary's a Republican and says she justifies receiving the benefits because she paid into the system for 25 years when she was working. She feels like she could get better care on private insurance, but she supports an approach like the one proposed by Democrat Pete Buttigieg. That allows anyone to opt into Medicare if they want to.
I'm not adverse to giving general benefit, but allow people to choose.
Savannah Henry is 19 and has not had any major medical issues, but she's supportive of Medicare for All, an idea backed by Democrats Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. The proposal would replace the health insurance market with a government-run system that would cover everyone.
A lot of people who aren't getting health care are people who are like low income, and a lot of the low income people in this country are like the black and brown people who don't get represented. It's all intersectional, so yeah, it's important to me.
Henry's from Erie and is a sophomore at the University of Pittsburgh. She's on her parents' insurance and says health care is not a top concern for people her age. But she says Medicare for All is important for her future.
Student debt is a huge issue that we're definitely facing. And that kind of like ties into like healthcare. Like if you're in this much debt, you're not gonna be able to live because you're gonna have to be paying all these bills and all of that.
I don't believe that healthcare is a human right. I don't.
Republican Ed Swiklinski is in his 40s and lives in Bethel Park with his wife and three kids. He's self-employed in cybersecurity.
Maybe my position sounds very cold or uncaring, but you know, I have had my share of heartaches and heartbreaks, and seeing my family members sick, I don't think that it's the job of the government to make sure that I have health care.
In fact, Ed and his family don't have insurance, a fact he only discovered after we talked for this story. He's now submitted paperwork for CHIP, the government health care program for kids, and is waiting to get a quote from an insurance company. Ed says he's okay with using government services like CHIP because his tax dollars help pay for them. But he doesn't want new taxes to pay for a new program like Medicare for All. He thinks Medicare should be privatized and not run through the government.
Even if everybody deserved health care, Medicare for All isn't going to be a solution to that problem.
But Democrat Linda Bishop disagrees. She says health care is her number one issue as a voter, and Medicare for All is the best possible solution.
You know, in America, there is no reason why we shouldn't have universal health care coverage.
She receives Medicare as a 68-year-old and says it compares very favorably to her experience on private insurance.
I'm on Medicare, and guess what? I'm not afraid of it. It has a 50-year track record, the administrative costs are low, and I'm very happy with my insurance, and I think most people in this country would be too.
Linda says the differences between the Democratic candidates are less important than winning in November.
The real question is, you know, why is candidate Trump trying to tell us that, you know, he's our champion on the health care issue when in fact the truth is exactly the opposite?
While Trump has been in office, congressional Republicans repeatedly tried to abolish the Affordable Care Act without providing an alternative. That law protects people with pre-existing conditions from being charged higher premiums. It allows people to stay on their parents' insurance until they're 26. Most recently, Trump's proposed budget included more than $100 billion in cuts to Medicare. Republican Mary Henze voted for Trump in 2016, but hopes he doesn't reduce benefits for the program she relies on.
Okay, President Trump, this is not the time to do this. I know money has to be cut, but don't hurt someone.
She still plans on supporting him in November. I'm Lucy Perkins, 90.5 WESA News.
In our year-long split ticket series, we've been talking with four voters about the candidates and issues that could sway their decision at the ballot box. This month, everyone is quarantined at home, thinking of little else besides the pandemic. But 90.5 WESA's Lucy Perkins reports the coronavirus has changed everything except people's minds about President Trump.
Hello? Before the virus hit the U.S., Ed Switlinski was applying for jobs and doing some side work in cybersecurity. His wife had a temp job. His kids were in school. But now, like a lot of parents, they have to do everything.
We really don't get a moment's rest at all. So it's actually taking a toll because there's seemingly no end in sight.
In addition to their two daughters, Ed and his wife are also now caring for a friend's two-year-old through the foster care system. He's still looking for work, but the pandemic has prevented a lot of companies from making new hires. And Ed's wife can't work remotely, so they have no money coming in.
I can do this for a couple months, but things have to start working themselves out. It's very demoralizing. I have to sit here and do nothing.
Ed is in his 40s and lives in Bethel Park. He's a Republican, though he's voted locally for some Democrats. He gets the importance of social distancing, even though he says it's hard to tell how many lives are actually being saved by it.
Hello.
Progressive Democrat Savannah Henry wishes we had all quarantined earlier.
Yeah, I think if we would have maybe been a little bit stricter, things would have panned out differently. I still think that there would still be casualties and people would still get sick, but I don't think it would be at such a mass level. And I 100% think it's because of, like, faulty leadership.
She's a sophomore at the University of Pittsburgh and found out school would be online for the rest of the semester while she was home on spring break in March. But while she's been social distancing the whole time, she knows other people who haven't been.
On St. Patrick's Day, it was my last day in Pittsburgh packing up my things, and my friend invited me to a quarantine, like, St. Patrick's get-together. It was a group of seniors, so I wanted to go, but luckily I left, so I didn't have that temptation.
Since then, she's been at home with her mom in Erie. She says some people she knows are not being as strict about social distancing rules, and other friends are calling them out for it.
They may not party in super large groups, but there are still small get-togethers going on. And then I've also seen, like, people on social media tweeting and, like, kind of policing people.
Democrat Linda Bishop, meanwhile, has no plans to leave her home right now. Linda's retired and lives in Mars, Pennsylvania with her husband.
I'm 68 years old. My husband is 74, and he has some underlying health conditions, and so do I.
Linda describes her voting habits as purple and has been registered as a Republican and a Democrat. She and her husband had been following news about the coronavirus from the beginning and decided to go into self-imposed isolation even before Governor Wolf issued a stay-at-home order. She hasn't been to a store for over 6 weeks. They've been buying everything online, do curbside pickup for groceries, and only leave their house to walk the dog.
It's hard because we don't get to see our kids. We don't get to see our little grandson. We get to video chat with him every day, but it's not the same thing. But we just know that that's how it has to be for now.
But Republican Mary Henze does not agree. Mary's been on disability since 2010, and even though she's HIV positive and has a compromised immune system, she believes the stay-at-home order is government overreach. She says the whole thing has been blown out of proportion.
And this is how I look at the whole corona thing. I have had an immunodeficiency disease for 25 years. And every flu season and every time that there's something going on, it's about me protecting myself. I cannot expect my neighbors or other people down the street to be concerned with whether I get sick or not.
She recently got tested for coronavirus because the chemo she's been getting to treat her breast cancer made her short of breath. Since she tested negative, she's been quarantining at home. But even though she's used to taking care of herself, she says the length of time she's been alone has still been hard. She doesn't see anyone except her son through the window when he brings her groceries and leaves them on her front porch.
I don't want to cry, but not having physical contact, a hug, a touch, a conversation in person is so terribly lonely.
Throughout this series, these four voters have been split on nearly every issue, from impeachment to health care. Right now, they have one thing in common. They're all at home. But while they've all watched President Trump's regular White House briefings, they have very different reactions. Republican Ed Switlinski is not a fan of the daily briefings. They don't make him feel better or worse about the pandemic, but he is frustrated that he has to hear from experts instead of Trump.
This really isn't President Trump. Now we're at Dr. Fauci, Dr. Birx, the CDC, they're running the show. Trump's not running the show anymore. That I don't like.
But progressive Savannah Henry says Trump himself is the problem.
Trump is just, he's so disrespectful, so it's kind of hard to take it seriously. Every day it's something different. Like, one day he says, oh, it's up to like Andrew Cuomo to decide whether New York's going to reopen or not. And then the next day he says it's up to him. I just feel like there's not clear leadership. And at this time, you really need like a strong leader to like band the country together. And I'm not really seeing that.
Republican Mary Henze loves who Trump is, but says she wants to hear more from Vice President Mike Pence, since he's in charge of the coronavirus task force. And she says Trump's briefings could be tweaked a little bit.
I don't think it's bad that he talks. I think he's long-winded.
But Mary says Trump's done a good job handling the crisis overall. And she points to the fact that he banned flights from China at the end of January. She's confident Trump will win re-election easily. But fellow Republican Ed Swiklinski says the economy tanking could hurt Trump's odds.
There was not a box to be checked before in poor economy. Now there is. And now that there is, it could be his fault. And he's going to lose some percentage points for sure.
Democrat Linda Bishop thinks that the real point of these briefings is an attempt to rally his base.
His press briefings are nothing more than a substitute for the campaign rallies that he can't have right now.
Linda lays the blame for the country's unpreparedness and high death toll squarely on the Trump administration. And she's worried that the virus could still be with us or surge in the fall as voters prepare to go to the polls. I'm Lucy Perkins, 90.5 WESA News.
As protests against police brutality sweep across the country, polling suggests most Americans support law enforcement reform. In our year-long split ticket series, we've been asking four voters about the issues that could sway their decision at the ballot box. This month, 90.5 WESA's Lucy Perkins says the protests deepened at least one voter's commitment to be heard in November.
2 years ago, when Savannah Henry first arrived at the University of Pittsburgh, a black teenager named Antoine Rose was killed by a white police officer in East Pittsburgh. She says that ignited her activist work, but her distrust of police goes back further.
When I see police, I get scared. I don't like being around police. They make me uncomfortable. If a cop's behind me on the road, I get terrified.
Savannah's going to be a junior this fall and is a progressive. She'd been interning with Planned Parenthood this summer in Erie when she started getting messages about the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis.
I didn't realize how big of a deal it was, just because I feel like as a black person in this country, every time you hear about a black person being killed by a police officer, which happens all the time, you can't let yourself get super, super overwhelmed about each death, because if that was the case, then you wouldn't be able to function as like a human.
But when protests started, she wanted to be there. So she and her friend borrowed a car and drove to Pittsburgh.
They don't lynch us in the trees!
They don't lynch us in the street!
They kill our babies on the street!
So I wore two masks the whole day because I was nervous just about getting sick. But I don't know, I just feel like things are so terrible in the world right now. I would risk getting sick to like stand up for what I know is right.
Democrat Linda Bishop is retired and lives with her husband in Mars, Pennsylvania. They haven't been to any protests because they're both vulnerable to the coronavirus. Still, she's paying close attention to what's happening.
We can't ignore it. Black and brown people have never been able to ignore it. It's part of their daily life, the discrimination and the racism that exists. But white people have had the privilege of being able to tune it out. Well, you know what? We can't do that anymore.
Linda says she feels her own white privilege more strongly these days. She's contacting her elected officials and doing grassroots organizing around the November election. Both Linda and Savannah want to see an overhaul of how police departments are structured and think redirecting money from police budgets is a good place to start.
We've gutted social programs in communities of color over the years and yet reinvested all that money in police. Well, let's reverse that.
Republican Ed Swiklinski thinks President Trump's done a good job responding to the protests, but says the president's snide comments just give Democrats ammunition.
I think that if you don't like Trump, you're going to see that as he's part of the problem, that he's just a white guy with white privilege and he's not woke.
Ed is in his 40s and lives in Bethel Park with his wife and kids. He's been doing some side work in IT while he looks for a full-time job. Ed does think police brutality needs to stop, but does not see it as a symptom of systemic racism, and he says he doesn't understand what changes the Black Lives Matter movement wants.
If you had 4 years to get together a cogent thought, I see nothing. It leads me to believe that Black Lives Matter does not really care about solving a problem.
All lives matter. If Black Lives Matter, stop the violence within your own race.
Republican Mary Henze lives in Jefferson Hills, is in her 50s, and has been on disability for about a decade. Mary says she was heartbroken when she saw the video of George Floyd and thinks cops with bad records should be fired. But she also thinks that white people are victims of police violence more than people of color.
There are a lot of people who get into police work because they need the feeling of power. He was wrong. He was a bad cop. But there are also cases of white men. They just don't hit the media.
But many studies find the opposite. An analysis by the Washington Post shows that black people are killed by police at twice the rate of whites. And Savannah Henry is upset with Trump's response to the protests against police brutality.
I've never felt such deep, deep, deep hatred for a person in my whole entire life. I don't know how people can ignore the things he's done.
Savannah voted for Bernie Sanders in this month's primary. But Trump's response to the protests has done what even her fears about climate change and a conservative Supreme Court didn't do: convince her to vote for Joe Biden this November. I'm Lucy Perkins, 90.5 WESA News.
This month, Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden unveiled a sweeping green energy plan. It marks a strong contrast from President Donald Trump, who has long championed fossil fuels. 90.5 WESA's Lucy Perkins is following four Western Pennsylvania voters, asking them about the issues that could sway their decisions at the ballot box this fall. For this month's installment of our Split Ticket series, they talked about energy and the environment.
The climate crisis has always loomed large in the back of Linda Bishop's mind.
You know, you could make the case that climate change is the biggest issue because it's an existential issue.
Linda's a Democrat, though she's also been a Republican. She's in her 60s, retired, and lives in Mars, Pennsylvania. And she uses her time to keep up with developments on the campaign trail.
Trump is always saying, you know, he wants to create jobs, but where's his infrastructure plan? There hasn't been an infrastructure plan. Biden has an infrastructure plan.
Biden's multi-trillion dollar plan would build green infrastructure and invest in renewable energy. He says that would eliminate emissions that lead to climate change by 2050. Some Democrats say his proposal's too middle of the road, in part because it doesn't ban fracking. But Linda's glad it doesn't mention the gas drilling technique, which is widely used in Pennsylvania.
It's unrealistic and it's bad for Pennsylvania to ban fracking. He knows that. And so the question is, how do we go about this? And that's where I like the Biden plan, because Biden has not come out in favor of banning fracking.
Progressive Democrat Savannah Henry also sees climate change as a big problem. She was originally a Bernie Sanders supporter and thinks it's critical to ban fracking now. She'll be a junior at the University of Pittsburgh this fall, and last year she went to protests and organized around climate justice. But now?
I think right now a lot of people are more worried about COVID, and I think that's maybe where I'm at too, and like freaking out about going back to school. So I think my lack of spark is because of the isolation, I would say.
And in any case, she's confident Biden is better than Trump, who's rolled back environmental protections and campaigned on promises to bring back coal mines and expand oil and gas drilling.
I can't think of anything that he's done that is even borderline, like, helpful for the environment.
Savannah has a surprising ally in Mary Henze, who's otherwise a huge Trump supporter.
There is global warming. It's man's greed that has created it. And when we dig and we take away the coal and the oil and all of that that has been there for millions of years, well, it was dead and buried for a reason. What did we expect was going to happen?
Mary's in her 50s and lives in Jefferson Hills. She's been on disability for about a decade and was a Democrat for years before flipping to Trump in 2016. Both the coal and gas industries were suffering before the pandemic, and Mary acknowledges that Trump's campaign promises haven't done anything to change that.
And this is where I go, you know, yeah, I'm going to vote for Trump, but every politician says things to get what they want.
But Mary says even if Biden's proposal was put into action, the planet's already too far gone. She believes the environmental problems we're seeing are a warning from God. Her solution?
Prayer. Prayer. Get yourself right, because the time is coming. We are in self-demise.
I don't see it. The pictures of polar bears stranded on ice caps out in the middle of nowhere is just nonsense.
Republican Ed Swiklinski is in his 40s and lives with his wife and young kids in Bethel Park. He's working part-time in cybersecurity.
Of our four voters, he's the only one who doesn't believe in climate change. He thinks researchers are simply making up numbers about the problem and that schools shouldn't talk to kids about the issue. He believes that should be left to parents like him.
Because I'm going to tell them the truth. I'm serious.
And where do you get your information from?
Life experience. I have multiple sources that I look it up.
Ed also says Trump's promise to bring back fossil fuels like coal hasn't amounted to much. But Joe Biden's plan?
Smoke and mirrors.
Ed says there's no way the Democrats' proposal could reduce greenhouse gases, or for scientists to even accurately measure carbon emissions. But the groups who do keep track of that data say in order to curb the most dramatic effects of global warming, action in the next decade will be critical. I'm Lucy Perkins, 90.5 WESA News.
Pennsylvania certified Democrat Joe Biden as the winner of the presidential election weeks ago. But President Trump's campaign and some allies are still fighting the outcome in court. For the final installment of our split ticket series, 90.5 WESA's Lucy Perkins asked four Western Pennsylvania voters how they feel about the outcome.
I've talked with these four voters about a lot over the last year, from President Trump's impeachment to climate change, Black Lives Matter protests, and the pandemic. And my main takeaway is that there's little, if any, common ground between these two Democrats and two Republicans. Even now, they can't all agree on who won the election.
I was overjoyed.
This is Democrat Linda Bishop. She's in her 60s and lives in Mars, Pennsylvania. She was horrified when Trump won in 2016, and she spent the past 4 years trying to flip Pennsylvania back.
And I vowed then and there that that would not happen again, not on my watch. And I put my all into this election. I had left nothing on the table, and it was just felt so gratifying.
But even though Biden won, Linda plans to stay active in grassroots organizing.
President Trump has done so much damage to our country in 4 years. We have so much work to do to repair the damage that he has done.
On the other side of the divide, Mary Henze says the election is far from over.
God's not done yet. Overall, what I can say is basically God's not done yet, and the truth will prevail.
Mary's in her 50s and lives in Jefferson Hills. She supports the Trump campaign's legal efforts to overturn the election, which she suspects was tainted by massive voter fraud. And she says other Republicans feel the same way, including her son, who decided not to vote.
Well, I said, do you see how your vote counts? And he goes, I get it, Mom. But even if I voted, I would have voted Trump, and I'm in Pennsylvania. And he said, they're going to do what they're going to do. And he walked away.
Mary worries about what could happen if Democrats gain control of the Senate after two runoff races in Georgia next month.
We're going to see so much destruction of our Constitution, and that's scary. And I truly believe if God allows that to happen, we are in the end times.
Mary plans to reconvene her online group God USA to help people connect with Christian values. Meanwhile, Democrat Savannah Henry's faith in the democratic process was strengthened this year.
It was like my first election, and it really felt like our votes went far. It made me, especially being in Pennsylvania, it made me realize, like, okay, our votes do matter.
Savannah's a junior at the University of Pittsburgh. She originally supported Bernie Sanders and was not very excited about Joe Biden. But she hopes that some of the progressive candidates who won House seats this year will change the political landscape.
Seeing, like, what happened in Georgia and how it was so close and how, like, Stacey Abrams was able to mobilize and do all that stuff with so many voters, I'm hoping that moving forward, hopefully there's, like, more, like, grassroots level and that will, like, go further.
But for now, she's optimistic about Biden's plans to address climate change and end the coronavirus pandemic.
I know I was, like, being very cynical about this election, but I was surprised about how happy I was. Like, it's nice to know that even though the pandemic's not going to go away and school's still going to be hard, it's nice to, like, have that one extra ounce of happiness knowing that Trump isn't in office.
I believe Trump to be one of the most honest politicians that we have had in recent history.
Republican Ed Swiklinski's in his 40s and lives in Bethel Park. He thinks the final vote count will show that Trump lost. He says he can live with that, but his belief that the media has tried to destroy Trump will make life during the Biden administration even harder.
We're going to hear about the best man in the whole wide world, and that's going to be hard to take after 4 years of watching Trump been maligned every day.
Ed expects Trump to leave office peacefully next month, but he says that doesn't mean Trump's done with politics.
So I'll say Trump 2024, that he comes back and says, "Do you miss me yet?"
I'm Lucy Perkins, 90.5 WESA News.